This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have the awesome and wonderful and beautiful Camilla.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yee! Kia ora, how are you, Jason? Thanks for having me on your show.
Awesome. Now, we met through mutual work in the youth support field, and we got to talking, and yeah, I really like your background and the work that you do. But before we get into all that, before we started recording, you did a practice, and I'd like you to share what that practice is and why you do it and how it helps.
Cool. Yeah. So the practice is using one of the traditional medicine the tribes in Brazil use. It's called Rapé. It's written R-A-P-E with a little thing on the top. So the Rapé is a mix of ashes from different trees, different spices. But the main plant is the tobacco, in which actually the tribes use the original tobacco plant. So we call it Mapacho. So Mapacho helps clearing negative energies. So it's really good for people that has anxiety, depression, or just have that negative talk in their minds. And there, so the different combinations are for different purposes for the tribes. So perhaps the shaman in that tribe use, if someone is sick on the tribe, they can use a Rapé to bring an insight and then go hunting for a specific plant in the forest nearby that will help with that specific illness. Yeah, so the practice I do in the morning, I like it doing because it kind of clears my thoughts. Is a moment that I have to just acknowledge where I am, be grateful for what's around me, people, family, work, my day. So I do my praise, do my Ho'oponopono, and yeah, it helps you connecting with your ancestors, with your spirit guides.
It's a grounding practice for you.
It's a grounding.
It grounds you here and it grounds you to your to where you came from.
Yes.
And keeps you looking to where you want to be and go. And
yeah. So say like your mind is going too busy with, you have a lot of things to do in that specific day. The Rapé just bring you grounded and then you kind of have more focus on what you have to do.
Well, that sounds like something I need for my ADHD.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend to anyone. Yeah, anyone can have it in Brazil. At the tribes, the kids have it. So, yeah.
It's cool. And you can do it in like ceremonial, like in groups.
Yes.
Or if someone else can provide it to you, but you self-administer. And it's something that you... how do you describe it? Sniff, snort?
Sniff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Up your nostrils.
Yeah.
And it works its way through your sinuses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I offer Rapé ceremonies in groups or one-on-one.
Yeah.
Where people can experience it and be just feel like they are safe, in a safe environment.
I've done it once before and I was told to hold an intention. And I had this intention, but then... apparently the plant wanted something else to come through.
Yeah, usually.
So it gave me something else.
And that's the beauty of working with plant medicine. They really give you what you need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rather than what we think we need.
That's what I say about the universe is it doesn't always give you what you want, but it always gives you what you need. And I think the plant and plants are just so in tune and connected and in flow with the universe. It's the same thing. Mm. They'll always give you what you need.
Yeah, I think my intention... every time I do it is always connected to my heart and hope to open the area. So everything that goes through there, I know it's going to be in synchronization with what it needs to be rather than up. Yeah.
So you shared with me that you have a background in a knowledge of family constellations and shamanic Reiki and other things. Before we get into those, what got you into this work? Like, where did your journey begin to look into these?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say alternative practice because I think they're more native than the current. These native and natural practices. How did you get into it?
So actually, when I was real little, I was about 5 years old. I was at school and my teacher was just really in love with her. And she was always very bubbly and very kind. And one day she showed up and she would look really serious and had this frown in her head. And that really shocked me. I was like, wow, that was really, worried, I think, at the time. And then when everyone was doing their own work on the tables, I asked, can they come close to you? And she was like, yeah. So she was up in the front on the table and I just put my hands on top of her head from behind. So she was sitting down, standing up. And I don't know how long I was there for, maybe 5-10 minutes. And then I just kind of came back and went sit back on my seat and start doing my work. But when I looked at her, she was looking at me with the mouth open like that, like shocked. And I, in my mind back then, I thought, oh my God, I did something wrong. She's gonna put me in timeout. She's gonna tell my parents that I'm in trouble. And then the bell went and everyone was going home and she was like, no, Camila, can you stay please? And I was like, okay, I'm in trouble. And then she asked me, what did you do? And I was like, no idea what I didn't do anything. And she was like, no, because I had this migraine for a few days now. And taking, you know, painkillers and all of that. And I was like, I didn't do anything. I just put my hands on it. And she was like, well, it's not there anymore. So she did ask my parents. My parents obviously didn't know anything about it. No one knew. But then what happened is other teachers, and there was a Catholic school, and all the nuns start approaching me. Put your hand here. Put your hand there. And people were getting, like, better. So that's my healing part. My healing part started there. And then when I was about 8, I had a neighbor that came and approached me. Oh, do you know what Reiki is? And I was like, no. And she said, well, you use your hands and your being works as a channel for the Reiki energy, for the Qi energy. And it's literally just aligning the other person's chakras and frequencies that is out of balance. So that could be physical, emotional, mentally. So I did the Reiki Uzui when I was about 12, 13, the course.
Wow, I did my first course last year.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Yeah, I can teach now. I can, you know, I've been teaching. They call it Reiki attunement. So, yeah, tuning people into their frequency. Everyone has got it. You just have to be aware and how to
you
focus.
You have to be given an ability to unlock it or something like
that.
So have you been doing that since a teenager?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Reiki Uzui, so that's the traditional Japanese method.
Yes.
But when I was 16, I was in the jungle in Brazil, and we were doing all these shamanic practices. That's where I met my shamanic master, and he does the Reiki, shamanic Reiki. And so with that, you use the elements of nature combined with the traditional Reiki symbols and the way of the channel, the energy. And when I did the shamanic healing, I felt there was more me, because I was always more connected to the spiritual realm than the actual physical.
Mm.
So Reiki can be very etheric energy, and which is good, but the shamanic kind of grounds that energy and use the elements that we have in this dimension, I guess. So when I did it, I was like, ah, oh, this is a good balance, complement for a person like me. There's more there than here, you know. So we use crystals, we use the tobacco smoke, hape, singing, sound healing.
As well as your hands?
As well as the hands.
So, would you say it's a more holistic Reiki than others?
Shamanic.
Shamanic Reiki.
They're all holistic, but more shamanic, I would say, yeah.
Mm.
you can use the shamanic chants.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very similar to, you'd say, the Maori tribes, they use a lot of this, the singing chants.
Voice.
Yeah, the voice is very, very powerful. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, there is a belief that the universe being created by the sound of Om.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that's
sound of frequency
that's
helps.
In most creation stories, you know, whether they're religious ones or spiritual texts, that's always that sound came and then life happened.
yeah, so that's how it started. And then I think as a long way with my path, I was always curious and trying different practice from different religion, and I kind of just grasped from one to the other what resonated with me in my journey. And I guess, like, when people come to me and they say, oh, I'm feeling this way or this, and I'm on a one-on-one session, I feel like I have all these tools instead of just going, no, I'm just gonna do traditional Reiki or family constellation. Like, this person actually needs this. So I just pretty much open myself to feel what's in the room in that day. Yeah. Because, like what we were saying before, sometimes we have an intention for a certain practice, but then it might, something else might come that actually is maybe priority or more. Yeah, there should be
which
more.
Which is very different to the Western practice where they're taught one thing and treat everyone the same.
Mm.
Sounds like what you're talking about is treating the individual.
Mm.
There's a saying in functional medicine, you don't treat the disease that the person has, you treat the person with the disease.
Mm.
So that's what you do, huh?
Mm.
Look at the person in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the term holistic. What does that mean to you, holistic?
Holistic for me is being able to be connected into more spiritual approach.
So not and just physical.
No, just physical, yeah. So in this, with connecting the physical with a spiritual and natural background or base, kind of. So to treat someone in a holistic way, doesn't matter if they have, I have an injury in my knee, how am I going to heal with the Reiki? So it's bringing that, what happened in the past, could be something from family, ancestors, could be something emotional. So it's having that understanding and wisdom, aware, that you can reach those little nodules and start moving, opening up so that energy can flow again to understand and release.
I mean, to me, you know, a good definition of disease and trauma is stuck energy or blocked energy in the body, and healing is energy flowing. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Yeah, and sometimes people, you know, they think that injury in the shoulder is something, oh, I did it in the gym or I did it, but every injury starts much before the actual physical, and it shows you something holistic as well. Okay, so if you say, like, that injury in the shoulder comes from a physical exercise, are you being too hard on yourself, which is a more holistic approach to
pushing yourself too hard,
you know,
not resting enough,
or could be an ego thing, you know. So it always comes to something more than just physical.
Because I was going to mention with the knee example, what if you just fell and hurt your knee? But then how did you fall?
Yeah.
Why did you fall? Is there a reason why you know that your knees hurt at this time in your life? Is there a lesson here?
And what were you thinking when you fall?
Yeah.
Or what was happening?
Maybe you weren't thinking. You were,
yeah.
You weren't present, or I don't know.
Not being present, yeah. No. Or what was happening in your life that you actually create that situation where you injure and now you might have to stop everything you're doing. And then you have to focus on you, you know. That actually happened in my life. I had an accident playing soccer, indoor soccer. And I had to literally stop for a whole year because I had to do a surgery. And then I realized at the time I was doing too much.
Mm.
I had like 2-3 different jobs. And I was always very independent. Like, I could do everything myself and not accepting help. So those things came up when I was healing my knee. I was like, oh, I have to be a little bit more flexible when people are trying to help me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Can I cook for you? I was like, no, I'm usually the one that likes doing the cooking for other people, you know? But it's a learning as well to be able to let people come and help off their offerings, you know?
Listen and receiving. I mean, some people may not agree with this, but like cancer, you only get to a diagnosis of cancer after many signs from the universe to stop, turn around, change course. Cancer doesn't come out of the blue. It's not some random thing you get instantaneous. It takes years of a lifestyle that you're living, creating, and poisons and toxins building up in the body, emotional stress, psychological stress, mental stress. And the universe has been telling you, with your fatigue, with your tiredness, with your low sex drive, with whatever, digestive problems, all these issues are the universe saying, hey, take a pause and look at your life. But then we ignore it, and we ignore it, and then we get cancer, and we're shocked. But you shouldn't be. The universe has been, divine source, some energy has been trying to communicate with you this whole time. And now it's saying, all right, try this on. And then some people still don't listen, and they continue, and some people do listen, and that's when they actually turn around. And I'm not judging whether it's right or wrong, how you, the messages you receive and whether you take them and have awareness about it. It's just, that's what life is. It's full of signals and messaging, and it's up to us. It's our responsibility to be open with our senses and our hearts to see that there is something here for me. And, for the first 30 years of my life, it wasn't easy because I wasn't, my head was down, I was numb, I was eating the wrong things, I was living other people's expectations of me, so I couldn't hear, I couldn't see the signals. But then there was the massive one that I received, and I got it loud and clear, and then I turned my life around. Yeah, you're right. So whatever's happening to you physically is other underlying causes in the background. Could be ancestral, could be psychological, definitely. And we don't have that in the West. That's not taught. That's not taught in schools.
And that's why, for me, the medicine of Hapé, which I just did before we start, kind of helps me being present and exactly to be able to see in that day what's in front of me, you know, like with this just being simple and open, allowing space as well for that to happen, for me to understand. Don't need to rush into certain things.
For me, the practice that gave me that is was Qigong. I don't do it anymore consistently, but I did almost 1,300 days in a row.
Wow.
And it gave me exactly that. I was able to see what was in front of me more than what I was assuming or what I was thinking or what I wanted. I saw what was in front of me, and there was a gap where I could choose how do I want to respond versus something just reacting instantaneously.
Yeah. Not letting your subconscious sort of just
take over, yeah.
Yeah.
So these grounding practices are very important, be it meditation, a movement meditation, a plant medicine practice, something that grounds you. And mine was done, I did mine every morning, but also do now and continue to do a gratitude every evening.
Yeah.
And I think that does the same thing. It just brings me into a good space before bed. Yeah. Some people do it in the morning, but these practices that you have discipline around and be consistent with, they will help you. You may not see it until you look back and go, oh, I'm actually a much better, happier, peaceful, loving, reflective person than I was before. And that's because of whatever you're doing.
And I think the way we think, the energy is kind of building around that thought. So if you have thoughts of gratitude, you create this energy surround you in your magnetic field that will align and attract more of that. Rather than...
Ooh, I like that. I haven't thought of it that way.
Yeah, so rather than, being always, worried about something and this and that, then you're creating that magnet field with worries and things. And then perhaps you're always going to be bumping into situations like that because you are the one creating that energy field around you.
That's amazing because electrical flow creates a field. You can't have a magnetic field without electrical flow. When you create an electrical flow, there's a magnetic field. So if you keep practicing a loving kindness practice, a gratitude practice, a grounding practice, you will create a larger and expand your magnetic field of that energy and get more of that. That's amazing. That's pretty cool. I never thought of it that way.
And I also think, like, you can create a field that could be the size of Tauranga.
Oh.
And then expand that. And then people that are in the same frequency will bump into you more often. And also people that are looking for to be in that frequency.
Yeah, so in a town like Tauranga where we are now, it's a big place. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to take a consistent, persistent, disciplined approach to attract those people in this town. Mm. But where I'm from, and where I live now in Raglan, it's not so big. But you do attract those people all the time. If you're consistent with this practice, it's a lot easier. But imagine if you could go to a place like Auckland or Sydney or New York and you've been practicing for years and you still attract those people in those sorts of places. Mm. That's when you know you've been doing, yeah, you know, you're definitely on the right path. Yeah,
definitely.
So maybe something for, you know, for myself now, just thinking about that, I can practice because, you know, I'm going overseas to Australia and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
see who I attract.
No, we like antennas. I feel like we are little antennas walking around. And a good example is I've been putting together a surf and yoga project for the surf school.
Mm.
And I was thinking...
Oh, and you do surf school as well?
Yeah.
You have a surf school?
And then I was thinking I need to find some cool yoga teachers to collaborate. And I was actually parked at the same spot here, at Omana Beach. And this lady approached me. I was doing my hapa, my meditation in the morning. And she came and she was like, "Oh, sorry to interrupt you, but I seen you doing your meditation and I'm yoga teacher and I've been looking into do more yoga practice and retreats here at the mount and I like the surf vibe." And I'm like, "Oh." So for me, that's what I mean when you have that intention and you build your magnet field in a way that you're always going to be exchanging.
Yeah.
And then those people just come out of the blue, you know, like, and it could be anyone, it could be people that when you, because if I looked at her, I probably wouldn't think, "Oh, she's a yoga teacher, I'm going to talk to her because she's beautiful." You have all these, like, judgments around what a yoga teacher has to look like or not, you know, like, so just be completely blank with expectation on how people need to look or this or that, because I feel like that sometimes can block. What is that for you?
Yeah.
You know, some people have amazing things to share. And then if you think too much of, "Oh, I'm late now," she's in front of you, you know, she's got something to share with you that can be quite valuable.
It's like when you hold an expectation of someone or an assumption or your mind is elsewhere, there's like this energetic layer or wall between you two.
Yeah.
So you don't see and are present to.
I think being present in general is a good practice to have. How can we let the ego mind to one side and just be present and treat what's in front of you equal?
Yeah, this is something I learned when I learned about listening and sacred listening. I think it's from America. The Native Americans call it emptying the bone. So making your vessel clear so that when there's someone in front of you, it's their essence that you're receiving and exchanging with, and you're getting exactly what's going on with them. Versus if your vessel has your own dirt in it, then the other person's dirt gets mixed up, and there's confusion around what needs to be done. But if you can empty your bone and purify yourself when you're with someone, be present with that person. It's a lot easier to be present and to be real and to get the real story and to allow that person to be who they are. Because a lot of my issues growing up was I hid who I was because I didn't think I was right, you know.
Mm.
The story was I'm not worthy, I'm wrong, I'll just be what other people want me to be.
Mm.
But I suffered because of that.
Mm.
And I do my best today to allow people to be themselves in front of me. Mm. I don't want them to act or pretend or to put on a face. You know, there's all that politeness around it, but I really want people to just be relaxed and comfortable, let their shoulders down and just say whatever they want, whatever's on their mind, and I'm not going to judge them, I'm just going to be with them. And to me, I think that's a cool gift to have, is to allow people to just be who they are and not judge them and let them be, because I find that when I'm allowed to be myself with someone, I feel so happy and free, and I'm so grateful for that person. Hey, thanks for accepting me as I am, good, bad and ugly.
And you feel yourself as an entire being.
You're not split, you're whole.
Yeah. And I see, like, parenting's different parenting styles. I see kids, you know, that comes in the childhood, they're trying to be themselves and showing them. And I quite often see we try, as parents, we want them to do things in a certain way, and because this is the right way, or this is how I've been through, you know. And with my daughter, I tried to do quite the opposite. I tried to let her come up with solutions instead of going, oh, you need to hold the fork like this, or you need to clean the dishes like this, or no, can you please clean? And whatever way she finds out, sometimes could be even better than the solutions I have. Right. So I think like that, they will, as kids, they will grow up in a more like grounding way, and also feel confident about who they are, instead of being, oh, you're telling me this is not wrong. And sometimes they don't even try because they think they're gonna get it wrong all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's interesting have their thought around, like, from very early age. I think it's quite important. And maybe that could be related to why so many people these days get depressed. You know, you've been told all your life what to do from your parents, from school. And then when you're out of school, living by yourself, it's like, oh, I don't know who I am.
There's no identity, like, yeah. Grounding of that.
You kind of lost your right to be who you are because you've been told strongly how to do things all the time and what to do for work and this and that.
And there's the idea of finding yourself, but I guess a better way would be to remember yourself or to go back to yourself, not find. You've been there the whole time. It's just covered up in layers. And yeah.
Yeah. So is that going back to what do you like doing? How do you feel as a whole, you know, when you're doing certain things? That's who you are.
Yeah, I think that was definitely part of my healing journey. Know thyself. What do I like? What don't I like? What do I mean?
Yeah.
Not my parents, not my teachers, yes. Not my boss. What do I like? What don't I like? And blah, 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 you know.
Mm.
It's funny, like, we should know that, you know, by the time we're 30, but I didn't.
Yeah, but I think most of people don't because of their situation. Yeah, You're always being told, and, you know, there is this guidance around, but I think we should come into a balance to, yes, we need to guide and support, but also to allow space where you can feel if that's you or not.
Yeah,
Steiner School is really cool because I feel they allow kids to find out what they like and then develop the kids from their skills from what they are showing up. Yeah, they like more, say, carpentering, or I don't know, could be drawing, could be music, anything. And then they start developing the kids from that aspect.
And those first 7 years are important for a child's development to just have that creativity and imagination. Is it imagination or is it real? You know, just to let that develop, so there's no teaching of how to read until seven, you know, because they don't want to interrupt that creative flow from a child from 0 to 7 where they're kind of in the sponge download mode. So it's really good not to interrupt that and to make sure the environment's as stress-free as possible during that mode. Bruce Lipton talks about that biology of belief about those first 7 years can determine the rest of your life, because you just basically repeat and replay those patterns
the
that
cycles,
you learned.
Yeah.
You can change them. It takes, you know, it takes work. It's not fate, but for a lot of people, they're not aware that that's where all their behaviors and addictions come from, are those first 7 years. But then there's also your ancestral lineage, and I guess, is this where family constellation comes in?
Yeah, family constellation is based on what my teacher Erin Lewis, she's from Whakatene, she says that Uncle Bob, so it's balance, order and belonging. So they're all related to from your ancestor healing, so understanding your Whakapapa, where you come from. So if those three things are not in balance, that creates certain illness or issues in your life. So out of balance, out of order. An example of out of order could be, say, in your family, you have 5 siblings, and then mom died, and then one of the siblings become the mother and start, not become as a, oh, I'm not going to be your mother, but start working or start looking after the other siblings as a mother. So that can create out of order situation for that kid. And then in life, to change that into, no, you are also this kid that deserves the love from your parenting, and this is how your siblings, they're not your kids. So how to reconnect and redo that in a way that's going to be more healthy. Yeah, there's many ways that family constellation can treat a problem or an intention that you have. But definitely looking into your family lineage, understanding if there's any sort of similarities, patterns happening over the years, over the centuries. And then you have to go all the way back. So it could be 100, 200 years. Understand what happened there. And you're still carrying that seed. And you could be the one breaking the chain. And sometimes in group constellations, people don't even know that that comes from back then. They came with an issue in work. I don't know, I don't get along with my boss or my colleague. And then we put them on the field. So we do a circle, which is the field, the energy there. And then you start putting the pieces of work, boss or friends, you, how you feel. One way that I really like working with family constellation is what we call the blind spot constellation. So the person will come to you and they say, I have a problem with my boss. And they feel this way. And sometimes people like talking and going to the drama, but you don't really need to know much details about it. And then say you got a group of 20, 30 people there being the supporters and being on the circle in the field. And then me as a facilitator, I'll be, okay, so I'll start putting people, put you in the field and somebody else. And then I won't tell you what those people represent. And then I put you in the field, the person, see the other person in the field. And I start asking the person question, how do you feel when you look at this? And the person says, angry. And then another person is there and could be not moving. So everyone, when they are put into the field, they are welcome to free flow and do what they feel. So some people want to sit down, some people want to scream, some people get really agitated.
So they've surrounded the person?
So they are in the field, yeah. So is that like a circle?
Yeah, one's in the middle.
And then everyone's in the middle.
Oh, everyone's so, in the middle?
Everyone that I choose.
Okay, so there's a big circle.
For that situation, yeah.
Some are in the middle.
Yeah.
And the person that's being worked on is in the middle of them?
No. The person that brought the issue that wants to be looked at is going to be sitting next to me.
Okay.
And first I would get someone to represent her to go in the center.
I see, yeah.
So I will be asking that person, how do you feel now?
Mm.
And she can say, lost. Okay. And then there is another element, so another person representing something. And sometimes that element can be a feeling. So, okay, this person represents your anger. And then the person that will represent her, I'll say, how do you feel when you get close to here? Do you feel repelled? Do you feel... So we start treating with the emotions, with how you feel close to, say, like another person represents the boss.
Mm.
How do you feel when you're looking? But this person that's sitting next to me that brought the issue doesn't know what those elements are. Not even, no one knows. And that's the way I like working, because for me it's no lies. It's these people that have no idea sometimes, because they don't know. We have this corero just between the two of us. And then I start moving the pieces on the board. Let's say like that. So it's no lies coming from any part, because sometimes the person bringing the issue, they are so much into the problem, they can't even see what actually is happening.
Yeah.
And when they have all the elements playing on the magnet field, they are just moving with the energy that she's bringing or he's bringing into the field. So then I know, actually the problem is not your boss. And then I put, say, like her mother in the field, and then she goes And I say, can you go close to R? And then the person goes, I can't move. I can't get close to this person. And then I know that person is the mother. I know that person is her. And I know there's something happening there. But she didn't talk about her mother.
Mm.
And then I ask her, oh, what happened to your mother? And then she's going to start saying stuff. So the healing needs to start with the mom. And then it might sometimes end up that the whole group goes into the magnetic field, representing all the ancestral lineage that needs to be clear or healed. Something happened, either in a female part or masculine. So yeah, the blind spot is my favorite.
That's fascinating. So that person's projecting into the field.
Yeah.
And these people are in that field, in that energy, and they're just innately feeling into it and naturally acting in ways that person's energy is
bringing.
And then you're witnessing, knowing what elements are what, and then you can see what's playing out, and then you ask the person, this is.
Yeah, so from what I can see, and of course then you have to be in tune.
Mm.
And I guess being coming from a Reiki background and shamanic healing, you kind of have an extra tuning with the situation. You don't have to, but you know, it's your interpretation of what's happening.
And it's great because that person is actually on the sideline watching them playing out.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes as, most of the time I would say the person that's brought the issue in their subconscious, they knew there was something to do with the family, but they didn't know how that is being affecting the other areas of their lives.
Yeah.
And yes, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful to watch. I definitely recommend going to a group session.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw a few of those over the festival season earlier this year, and they were always active and alive.
Mm.
There was a lot happening there. A lot of screaming, a lot of joy and crying. It was a lot of transformation.
And being part of those groups, like I say, like sometimes you, as a facilitator, you always ask people who is comfortable being in the field, who just want to be as a supporter, watching, or who wants to bring something they want to look at. And being in the field for someone else is special for people that are quite skeptical about it. It can be quite life-transforming because they actually feeling this, like, I don't know why I feel like I want to cry, or I don't know why I can't move. They just can't move.
Mm.
They're stuck. So it's that feeling of being stuck. And they go like, wow, no, now I can feel that this is actually something that works in the bigger picture. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not that crazy witch.
Well, maybe you're not crazy. You're just a witch.
Just a witch.
Maybe you are crazy, but you're not a witch. You're definitely something. Well, I'll say it to myself. Maybe I'm not all these things, but I'm definitely some of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to move on to definitions and meanings of words that people say and use every day, but sometimes there's no awareness around them. So I'd like to ask you, and this is one of my favorite questions to ask people, because some people say this and they don't even know. Some say it and they know exactly, and it's beautiful. But what does love mean to you? So when you're saying it, when you're expressing it, what is it you're giving? And when someone says it to you, what is it that you're receiving? How would you define love? There's no right or wrong, right? This is your...
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I talk a lot about love and...
So just, what are you talking about then?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
When I say love, talk with love, for me is the opening of your being with no expectations, and just being able to receive the person in front of you or the animal in front of any living being with that opening and respect, kindness. I would say that's involved in that energy of love too. And when I say love, I'm talking more like the unconditional love. So it's like no expectations for me if someone is being treating me in a certain way, or they are treating someone else in that certain way that I might not agree. That's when I come to the energy of love is surrounding yourself and your magnetic field with a perspective of respect, kindness, and mutual I see you. And then when that grounds, then maybe the other person will open as well for that same frequency of love, of just being just being open, just being present. And
it sounds like for you it's an open-hearted kindness that allows others to be open themselves.
And care, yeah.
And care, yeah. It's a caring as well.
It's like putting together a bunch of emotions and feelings.
Do you think love is an emotion?
I feel like love is a frequency that we can access, that has a really high... it sounds a little bit oversaid, but it has a really high frequency vibration.
Yeah.
So when you can access that, nothing else really matters. Nothing, you know, problems or little things like where we're talking about rules that we as a humans in society, we create. You know, that rule might be there for certain, but the love goes beyond that. It sees beyond things and sees what is actually feels. It feels the right thing to do or to say without the judgment, without... So, yeah, it's a frequency that is nothing else really matter. You know, you can... Someone can be shouting at you, but if you can step into this love frequency... Sometimes even the other person can feel it as well, and they might just stop talking in a minute and just be silent and step into that frequency.
And it makes sense because people say fear is like a very low frequency. So love is, if love is an opening, fear would be a closing, right?
And yeah, when I do the Hatha meditation, my focus is actually bringing that frequency of love. So we talk about our heart chakra, that center of energy, and to open that every day, opening. So every morning for me is a good practice to do, because I'm a human being. No, I'm not perfect, and I do have emotions and my mind and my ego that's every day telling me things. So when I do this practice, it's like filtering and making sure that love frequency is open, not blocked because of something that I believe. You know, we have so many beliefs that kind of limit ourselves from actually accessing frequencies.
I had a dollar for every belief I had, I'd be a billionaire.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah, our beliefs can be tricky, eh? Like, they can definitely block us from improving, developing, and sometimes the opposite. They help us getting to the goals we would like to achieve. Yeah, so I think love is definitely a frequency that enable us to walk on this planet a bit more graceful and free in a way.
It's a freeing frequency, people.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
It's hard to explain that. It's not an easy question. Well, that's
the thing as well. These, you know, we're humans trying to do our best with words, but you can't, these things, these words are very primitive tools to describe reality.
Yeah.
Reality is far beyond our words. So we can only go as, you know, get as close as possible. What about... spirituality or being a spiritual person, what does that mean to you, or what does spirituality mean?
That's a good question.
I'm full of good questions.
Good questions. The book of good questions by Jason. Being a spiritual being
or spirituality, that word,
what does spirituality means? Again, I think it's being open for subtle energy exchange in the universe, not so much related to a specific religion. I think religion and spirituality are completely different, but one can work with the other one. So I believe we have this physical body, but we are spiritual beings. So in an etherical and frequency way, we carry this frequency with us, with this physical body.
Right.
So spirituality brings this...
So would you say, so it sounds like you're saying spirituality is the realm of frequency, and which is perhaps where love lives. It does,
yeah,
love lives there, but it expresses here in physical.
Yes. So the universe is built through different frequencies and elements. polarities, different polarities, different elements, and the spirituality holds all of this. Yeah. So your spiritual being has a frequency from, say, like from the Big Bang Theory, when the universe starts and then kind of explodes and forms the planets, forms the moon, forms where our galaxy, different galaxies. So your being holds all that information. Mm. Spirituality, if you can step into your spirituality or your spiritual being, you are able to access all that information that lives within you. And perhaps, in a way, depending on how much further you go with that, you can feel other people as spiritual beings and maybe where they came from originally when they separate from the source until this point in life where we are human beings.
It's like being one with the universe and then seeing you one how you're connected to others, like a connection, like a...
So sometimes we talk a lot about, oh, let's be one. It becomes kind of a, you know, over said. But where does that actually comes from? And I think that's where it comes from. We all interconnected and we all have different life experience. And when I say life is spiritual life, so not just as a human beings here. So say like the first time when... there was that explosion, maybe in one of my lives, so was this dust on Mars.
So do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes. Yeah, but not in specific as a human or in this planet, you know. Yeah. The universe is huge and there's many places where we maybe experience life, and but in different frequencies, different planets, different...
Now we're in this specific beings, frequency, expressing this specific physical... And then we'll continue and move on to the next. The physical won't, but the spiritual frequency will.
Totally.
Keep going.
So say like, why do I like the ocean so much? Or why I'm more connected with birds? Or So I believe that throughout those life experience, so those spiritual experience we had in different planets or different bodies, maybe we had come across or had a really good positive experience with those elements. And then now I'm here and I'm trying to reconnect with the spiritualities, finding who I am, why I'm here, what's my purpose. So spirituality in a way is holding all of this information.
Mm. Just coming back to that, remembering who you were and are in order to know how to be now. Mm. That's cool.
Mm.
Okay, last one. Some would say it's the big one, but I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Love to me is pretty big. God. How do you describe God?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
Well, to you, what is God to you? What is this higher power?
God. I think God, in a way, he can be an entity, but not physical. It's this frequency that we... have the opportunity to be respectful for, but really represents this whole spirituality frequencies. So he holds this in a such a way that becomes an entity. And for us human beings, it's easy to put into an entity so we can understand.
Right. We want to put God into a box.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense, but it makes it easier for us to
understand. So I can put it together as being like the spirituality or the spiritual realm could be God. So this whole entity, the whole universe is God. So why do we put that in an entity sometimes in a form? Mm. Is so we can kind of understand how it works.
Mm.
So, you know, God creation, God creates this. Yeah, that's the universe.
Yeah.
Creating with the energies and the elements that they have, could be gas, could be water, could be, you know, depending. So for me, we put God as an entity, as an opportunity to understand how it works in a much more superficial level, in a way, but also brings that, okay, I have something here that I need to put the onus for, you know, we live in the same planet Earth. and we take for granted the nature around us, our resources and everything. So pray for God that this will last, or they'll bring fish, and you know, so this God for me represents the whole spiritual universe realm. So could be the magnetic field that holds the entire universe.
So I've asked you three different questions and you're giving me three similar answers. You said love is a frequency.
Everything is a frequency.
Yeah, but then you said spirituality, all the frequencies. And then you say God is like the source of all those frequencies. Yeah,
I feel like God and the spiritual world is the same.
Yeah, it's just like the spiritual world is the sort of manifest or things coming from that God potential. But to me, yes, you're right. I mean, I do believe everything's frequency and energy and vibration, to quote Tesla. He believed the exact same thing. And yeah, looking at love at a certain level, then spirituality at another, then God at another one above all that. So, no, it's beautiful. I like that. Makes sense. And as above, so below, right? So love is God. God is love.
Yes.
Life is love. Life is God.
Yeah, but I believe, like what you said now, I wouldn't put God as the higher, because I believe the spiritual is the higher. But we name God as the person that is the higher. But I think that the reason why we do that, why I would do that, is just to have that understanding of creation, of, you know.
So we extract, because
it's like an illustration of the spirituality.
Spirituality is so big, we have to get one little bit of it and say, this is God, and it helps us make sense of it.
And then if we look into religion, you know, they have different gods, different, but they're all talking about frequencies. They're all talking about the same thing, but just different ways of how to achieve that. And that's why I think that concept of God comes under the spiritual concept. I think that's the main one, which for me represents the same, really.
Yeah, I forget what the exact quote was, but I was listening to someone the other day and they were talking about how the Tao or everything is older than God. And I think that's what you're talking about. The human concept of God is not...
came after.
It's not that big thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was good.
Yay! Passed on the test.
You passed the flying colour.
Let's go for swing. I love those
answers. And everyone's got their own answers, right? This is just Camilla's perspective. Mine's different. Yours will be different. Maybe you don't even have one because you never thought of it and you've just followed. To me, religion is following other people's beliefs, and spirituality is owning and choosing your own beliefs and following those. So, yeah, hopefully this discussion has helped bring up things for you to investigate if it calls.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for the work that you do, how do people get in touch with you?
They can find me probably on social media. I think it's the easiest way.
Yeah, what's
Camilla Lenghart.
How do you spell the last name?
L-E-N-H-A-R-T.
Yep, Camilla with one L.
Camilla with one L. Yeah, so you can find me there. And there has, I'm pretty sure, has my email account if people prefer to read like that, or just send me a message and we can exchange phone numbers. And
yeah. Do you work remotely or in person's better?
Yes. So there is practices that actually I don't require the person to be with me at all. Yeah. They can be in a different country.
Yeah.
In fact, all my practice can be done like that, except if the person would like to try the shamanic medicines that I offer, which is the hapa, the sananga, which is the eye drops. I offer cacao ceremonies as well. So, of course, for those practice that brings more physical element, then the person is,
And you're based in Tauranga?
Based at the Mount, yeah.
All right, I'll have to give you a ring next time from Raglan.
Yay!
Awesome, thanks for that. That was great.
Lovely, thank you for having me. That was fun.
Cool. Hey, Oliver.
Oh, Ollie's back.
All right, thanks everyone. Cheers. Thank you once again, Camilla, for coming on the show. That was a beautiful dialogue. I enjoyed the focus on frequency and energy and vibration. Where your attention goes, the energy flows, and your level of consciousness and vibration and how you experience life is determined by your intention, and your intention will come from how healthy you are and how loving you are and how kind you are and how present you are. And if you'd like some more help in that area on being more balanced and more uplifting and seeing and be able to experience more love and light, I would recommend looking up Camilla. On her Instagram, it's Camilla_Lenhart. She also has some music there as well, which is good for the soul, good food for the soul. And yeah, highly recommend looking her up. Okay, that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.